Congress is going to pass some sort of health care reform, and it's zeroing in on it right now. And the spun has begun. Let's try to de-spin it. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Our nation has the worst health care in the world and pays the most for it. Are we finally ready to do something about it? Our number, 1-800-478-8255, toll-free, 478-TALK. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. Email talk@aprn.org. Can Congress tackle health care in a meaningful way on Talk of Alaska statewide?
Today's program is underwritten in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Want to break your tobacco addiction? Call the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line at 1-888-842-QUIT. Register for free Quit Line counseling and nicotine replacement patches. The combined counseling and patches increase your chances of quitting for good. Trained quit coaches will help you set a quit date and send you information. Free quit services are available to all Alaskans. This message is from the Alaska Tobacco Quit Line, 1-888-842-7848.
In an issue which has attracted all sorts of hyperbolic expressions, I deliberately exaggerated the line, "Our nation has the worst health care in the world and pays the most for it." But don't think there are not statistics to back this up. Now, if you say the worst health care in the world, you would have to put all the nations in, right? And there were only certain nations that were included in the survey that was done by the Commonwealth Fund last year. But among those countries, the fact of the matter is that if you take the mortality per 100,000 in population, mortality amenable to health care, in other words, you get the highest rate in the United States, 110, versus, say, 65 in France, 84 in Greece, 103 in Ireland. Ireland and Portugal are the ones that closest to the U.S., 82 in, say, Sweden, 84 in Austria. So that's kind of an indication that even though we're spending a lot of money on healthcare, the healthcare is not actually doing the job. And then you have to go and ask why. But do we really spend the most? Well, per capita, we really do. The same study by the Commonwealth Fund shows that the per capita health spending in various nations is just simply a lot. The United States is tops, $6,102 per year per person for health care, as opposed to, say, Mexico's $662. We're 10 times as much. That's 600. We're 6,000. Poland, 805. Denmark, 2,881. Australia, 3,120. Portugal, 1,824. U.S., $6,102. So clearly something needs to be done, but boy, oh boy, the battle lines are already drawn and they're very, very partisan right now. It would appear that the Democrats have the votes to get something through, but President Obama would like to have something that is bipartisan. He did not get that with the stimulus, and perhaps he will have to settle for something non-bipartisan for health care as well. We're joined by a guest we've had on the show previously. Neil Davis is a world-renowned permafrost authority, a retired professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Are you a professor emeritus still?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of the same thing, I guess, but I noticed you had a UAF address there. This is Neil Davis, and he wrote Mired in the Healthcare Morass, An Alaskan Takes on America's Dysfunctional Medical System for His Uninsured Daughter. And that's the issue that we had you on about some years ago, Neil. And I'm wondering if much has changed since you told us the story of realizing the kind of inefficiencies that were involved in just trying to pay the medical bills for your daughter.
Well, I don't think much has changed, except there's much more public awareness now of the problems we're having, and much more public discussion. But the situation is steadily getting worse. Medical costs are increasing at a high rate, and then insurance premium costs are increasing at a very high rate. So the situation is not improving.
I think one factor that that plays into this is that when the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed by Congress, in all its infinite wisdom, in order to bring us a deregulated economy, it allowed the banks and the investment brokerage houses and the insurance companies to all be the same people. So the very people who brought us, who basically drained the money out of the country with this ridiculous subprime mortgage thing with all these derivatives and whatnot, are the exact same people that run the insurance companies. And so now they're telling Congress, oh, trust us, we can fix this, trust us. Who in their right mind would possibly trust these people? Neil?
Well, I have to agree with you 100%. Yes.
So it would seem that there's a there's political traction on this, but the problem is, what do you put in the place of an insurance system run by the financial services industry? And, of course, the argument's going to be, well, then it's going to be big government. We already know big government is inefficient. So then, and tends to get more inefficient and bureaucratic as the years go on. And that's a hard argument to counter. But
well, actually, it is an argument that can be countered. These claims that government can't do the job are absolutely false. For example, right now, it's acknowledged that the best medical system in the United States is the Veterans Administration system, and that is a government-operated, government-owned system, and it's the best thing we have going now.
Well, there are probably some veterans who would differ with that.
Some years ago, the system was not very good, but in the last 10 years, it has radically improved. And you can always find anecdotal statements that any system is either very good or very bad. But the numbers show that the VA system is the best we have.
So, Neil, are you trying to keep up with the debate on this healthcare issue as Congress starts to approach it this summer?
Yes, I have tried. It's a difficult job. It changes day by day, and it's one would just have to spend all their time keeping up, and most people, of course, can't afford to do that. You have other things to think about, and it's summertime in Alaska, and who wants to be worrying about this stuff? But yeah, I have, and so I'm fairly aware of what's going on right now.
Well, let me see if see if my thumbnail, if you would agree with it. Essentially, we've got, it's very partisan right now. I'm sure you would agree with that. We have the possibility of a public system of health care. In other words, that we have some form of publicly administered something that's like health insurance, health coverage, let's call it. And then we might have a hybrid where there's some of that and some of the private sector thing, and then it becomes an argument about how do you possibly hybridize these so that the government is not unfairly competing with the private sector for cherry-picking the best insurance premium customers or employers or whatever like that. So that would be one side of the debate. The other side says we got to find some way. So that's it, somewhere in the middle. That's where they're trying to get, or I would say a lot are trying to get. Then you got one side that says, no, it has to be the private sector. Just set that up in a way that they know what the rules of business are, and they'll create a more orderly system. We got to handle it that way. That would be the Republican side probably. And then the Democratic side, there are some that say, look, we just need to go to single payer. And the single payer is kind of a euphemism for government. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Hillary Clinton couldn't sell it, because they were trying to fuzz it with the language by calling it single payer. But who's going to be the single payer? It's the idea that somebody, one entity, has to go in there and negotiate with these other entities, whether it's pharmaceutical or healthcare providers, and obtain the proper pricing for things. Do you think I've laid it out about right, that where they're going is trying to reach that hybrid, and it's probably going to be difficult?
Well, yeah, essentially, yes. The sad thing about all this is that the single payer has not been considered in the Senate Finance Committee some time ago. Senator Baucus said it's off the table. We won't even consider single payer. And this is really the answer. If we went to a single payer system, then the savings are immense. We could save about a third of the money we're spending on health care right off. And of course, the health insurance industries and the pharmaceutical industry are very much against that because it's such a profitable operation for them. So they're fighting hard against any sort of government program. And as you mentioned, single payer does imply an entity that is big enough to do single payer, and the government is really the only thing we have to do that.
Well, you know, it appears that other countries have done this. You know, I want to get down to your numbers and so forth in a bit here, but it would appear that there's no real, I mean, it's not like you're totally reinventing the wheel here.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, we're the only modern nation that does not have a universal healthcare system, either single payer or some have what's called all payer, but they're essentially the same. In an all payer system, as in a single payer, the rates are all the same. The rates are fixed for pharmaceuticals and for healthcare, so that there's a level playing floor there for the all payer as well as the single payer, but it's a very highly efficient system. The big saving in going to these systems is that you eliminate the high profit and administrative expense that the private insurance industry has. For example, Medicare and Medicaid, which are government-operated systems, 97% of the money that goes into those systems actually goes to pay for health care, whereas in private industry, for private health insurance, only about 75% or so goes to pay for health care. And for policies that are sold to individuals on the individual insurance market, as little as 45% goes to pay for health care. And so half of it is just absorbed by these industries. And of course, that's why there's much battling against going to even having a government-operated option in competition. They can't compete, so they are scared to death of having a public option in competition with private industry.
We're talking with Neil Davis, author of Mired in the Healthcare Morass. Last time we had you on, Neil, you were you told the story of just innocently saying, "Geez, you know, I think I have the financial resources to help pay the medical bills for my daughter who had cancer." And then you discovered that there was something wrong with the bills. And just as you were saying that the insurance companies make a disproportionately large amount from the people who are paying for their own health insurance, so you found that the hospitals would tend to penalize the people who actually pay their own bills as opposed to the insurance companies, that there was a different rate that they charged.
Yes, it's hospitals and medical providers in general. Their listed rates are much higher than they expect to get paid by insurance companies or anyone else. on average across the United States, the hospital billings to Medicare are roughly three times what Medicare allows. There's a big difference in hospitals across the country. Some of the hospitals charge rates that are up to 10 times what the actual cost is. And interestingly enough, the Alaska hospitals are among the best in that regard. The markups are very low. Actually, Alaska is about the lowest in the nation. So that's an interesting thing that that our doctors and hospitals are not, or at least the hospitals are not charging exorbitant rates.
Well, it sounds like it's almost like one of these deals where, you know, you go to the bazaar and you see some crockery you want to buy, and you say how much, and the guy says an impossibly high number, and you say an impossibly low number, and then you meet someplace in the middle. It's almost as if the hospitals are trying to do that.
As I say, it varies a lot across the country. Here in Fairbanks, for example, the hospitals charge the uninsured person just almost exactly what they charge the insurance companies. That's an unusual situation. In Massachusetts, I'm aware of one hospital, their average charges that I've looked like are 10 times. And so 10 times Medicare. So an uninsured person going in there is asked to pay that, and it's completely unreasonable, of course.
Well, but I mean, you get a bill, a decent way of doing business would be you get the bill and then you pay the bill.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I started out. I was paying medical bills for my daughter. I thought, well, and in fact, I did. I started looking at the bills, and there were some that weren't very big, so I just paid them. And then I started looking into it and realized how dumb I was to have done that.
Well, were you able to find a way of getting some leverage, negotiating?
Yeah, very definitely. I spent a huge amount of time looking at Medicare rates and also asking the question whether Medicare rates were fair or not. And an interesting conclusion I was able to come to was that, yes, in Alaska at that time, the Medicare rates payments were quite good. They were 165% of the national average. And this was a pork-barreling thing that had been accomplished by Senator Stevens. And today, even the Medicare rates in Alaska are 135% of national average. They're abnormally high. So basically, learning that, I was able to say to the providers, hey, I'll pay you Medicare rates, or I'll offer to pay you that and then settle the bill. And virtually every organization and doctor, there were 12 of them, agreed to that. Yeah. So I was able to drop. I had bills of over $180,000 and ended up settling those for about $56,000.
Yeah, I guess you know that there's been growing. I mean, that did not go down well when they wiped out the Medicare reimbursement differential in Alaska and then they restored it, but not as high. Medical community is not happy with that.
Right. It's better here than elsewhere. It's a fluke that we have that high payment. Even so, the Medicare and Medicaid are not paying their way in Alaska, and there's a transfer of charges over to the insured population. It's much more so than the shifting cost shifting from the uninsured to the insured by a factor of two or three. So our problems are there, not with the uninsured.
Well, Neil, that's nothing new. This is Alaska. It's kind of the way things are. Neil Davis, mired in the healthcare morass. This is published by Esther Republic Press. in Alaska Yukon Press, and the publisher was telling me you've actually sold quite a few of these, Neil.
Yeah, we're in the second printing now. I guess the most significant event there is that the Banner Health that operates the Fairbanks Hospital thought the book was worthwhile enough that they bought copies for all employees. So that really helped a lot. The book is getting out into this community a great deal, at least.
Let's see, that's very notable because you would think with your tough language about the healthcare institution that they wouldn't you wouldn't be their friend.
Well, I wasn't when I started out. I must admit, I thought that I really was on the prod looking for malfeasance and overcharging, and much to my surprise, when I really looked into the situation, I began to realize that in Alaska, the things are a lot better than I thought, compared to elsewhere in the country, and certainly here in Fairbanks, its situation seems to be about as good as it can be. Our hospital here is a non-profit, and it does have to make enough money to break even, but it does that and seems to be serving the community well. And, of course, that's why that conclusion was, which I had not expected, was why the hospital here was interested in the book.
I can understand that they would be. The subject is healthcare reform. Our guest is Neil Davis, and our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. What is doable in healthcare reform? If you're calling from Anchorage, it's a local call at 550-8422, and our email is talk@APRN.org. Tom in Fairbanks has already chimed in with an email. He says, why is it not reverse insurance fraud to charge those without insurance more? It is illegal for a provider to charge more to the insurance company or to waive the deductible to some clients. Could there be some kind of legal action on this? A good question. You kind of wonder. Any ideas, Neil?
Well, what you're talking about is the Medicare requirements that the doctors and hospitals are not allowed to charge Medicare more than other any other customers, and so that's one reason, I suppose, that the billings that are made are made very high. They're doctors' bills on average are 3 to 4 times what they expect to get paid, either by Medicare or anyone else.
I'm getting I always get the feeling when I deal with these insurance companies that they have me over a barrel, in the sense that they I don't have anywhere else to go, that I have to kind of accept their terms, whatever they are. And for somebody who is trying to buy their own insurance, I would think this would be awfully difficult. There are still some places, public broadcasting is still one of the places that has employer-provided health care. It keeps degenerating, but they've got some kind of health plan here. But if you were to go out and try and buy your health insurance, you could easily find yourself then, even though you're paying the premiums, denied your claims and even thrown out of the insurance company because of whatever reason they decided. Pre-existing condition. They go and dig around and try and figure out if you did have a pre-existing condition you didn't tell them about, that they can deny you deny paying for your health care. They can just kick you out.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm thinking we're not real well regulated on this here.
No, actually, you're correct. Alaska has is a state that has among the weakest consumer protection laws in Alaska, or in the nation. In some states require that the so-called underwriting, the investigation of a person past medical history has to be completed during the time that the policy is sold. Not so in Alaska. In Alaska, the insurance companies are allowed to go back to your birth to look for any failings to declare some condition.
Well, I've already got one. I was born in 1943, so, you know, my entire youth was spent breathing lead from vehicles.
Yeah, and you're right. And the insurance companies have so much power. Instead of the doctors and the patients deciding what care they should get, the insurance companies decide that in this country, and it's a sad situation.
Yeah. Well, we by email, William weighed in and says, well, it may be that if one is ill or impaired, it would be quite difficult to navigate the private policy morass, as we have discussed. Single payer might prove more humane. So William's weighing in along with you, Neil Davis. Love to hear somebody pick up the other side, because I'm sure there are many who really don't want government-paid health care. The telephone number, 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK. And the subject is health care reform. The political landscape on this thing has changed just in the past few days, it seems, Neil. For one thing, Senator Kennedy, who is the health committee as opposed to the finance committee, has weighed in with his bill, which is a single-payer bill. And also, Senator Baucus seems to have backed off. There's a considerable pressure campaign to at least have single-payer considered, and Baucus seems to be, in the last couple of days, making more conciliatory sounds.
Well, it's not so much going to single-payer, but the allowing the public insurance option to operate in parallel. That's what Senator Kennedy is promoting.
So it's the hybrid scheme we were talking about.
Yeah, that people still allowed to buy insurance in the private insurance market, but they could also buy from the public-operated system. And if that is set up on a level playing field, then past history shows that the government-operated system will be so much more efficient than the private that the private industry can't compete. In fact, the private insurance industry admits that right up front. They are saying we don't want a public option because we can't compete with it.
Let's go to Jonathan. Joins us on line one by phone. Jonathan, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Joining me, and I wanted to say hi to Neil. I'm actually working my way through your book right now. I'm part of a new organization here in Alaska and nationally called Organizing for America.
I'm glad you went ahead and told us right away. That's essentially people who supported Obama and want to continue to organize around the issues that were important to them, right?
Absolutely, and healthcare is on our agenda right now. We just held and are continuing to hold these organizing meetings around the state of Alaska and around the country to address our concerns with healthcare and how we're going to organize here in Alaska to have our voice heard in this. And, you know, Neil is far more an expert on this than I am, but I definitely wanted to make sure that people who are listening today understood that, Neil addressed up front, this is really complicated. We know it is, and there's lots of ins and outs. But the president has really three simple principles that I think we can be assured will be adhered to, and those are that we need to reduce cost, we need to guarantee choice for all Americans, and we need to ensure that everybody really has access to affordable health care. Exactly how that works out has yet to be determined. But I wanted to let people know that we are here in Alaska. We're very eager to work with Alaskans to make sure that these challenges that pertain particularly to our state are addressed.
So were you you just had these meetings, right, over this past weekend, as I understand?
Well, yeah, they kicked off this weekend, and they're going all the way through this month. And it's actually all building to us participating in a National Healthcare Day of Service on June 27th, when here in Alaska and around the country, we are actually organizing community service events to highlight the need for healthcare reform in our particular communities and across our states. So there's going to be a lot going on, and this is a hot topic, as you know. So I'd encourage people to check us out. They can go to barackobama.com and plug in there.
Really? That's all it takes, and then you're You get to be part of whatever, the phone tree, the internet network, and...
You know, all of the tools that we use during the campaign to effectively organize, we are bringing back and really putting towards the effort of making sure that Alaskans' voices are heard in this process. I just finished a five-city listening tour around the state to listen to concerns from of people from, you know, Dillingham to Kodiak, Juneau and Fairbanks, and there's obviously still a lot of people who want to stay engaged. You know, we just elected President Obama, but now we have to really make the change. And I thank Neil for all that he's doing also.
Jonathan, thank you so much for calling us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Organization for America's Future, I think that's called. It's Talk of Alaska. We're talking about healthcare reform, accomplishing it, and how it actually gets done as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, working shoulder to shoulder with Alaskan businesses for nearly a century. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Crane accidents are on the rise around the nation. Making sure that crane operators are properly trained and certified is crucial to minimizing accidents in Alaska. Equally important is ensuring that riggers and signal persons are adequately trained. More information is available at 1-800-656-4972. Good, safe jobs are Alaska's future. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Reforming health care. We spend in the United States more than $6,000 a year per person for health care. Did you get $6,000 worth? I wonder. Health care reform, it's coming before Congress right now, particularly in the Senate. And the forces are lining up very quickly, as we're already hearing. Our guest is Neil Davis. He's the author of Mired in the Healthcare Morass. And we're also joined now by Anchorage Senator Hollis French. Hollis, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Nice to be here.
It's good to hear from you, Hollis. You had Senate Bill 61, and it actually got out of one committee, as I understand it. And this would, as I understand it, provide health care coverage for all Alaskans.
The idea behind the bill, Steve, is to get affordable health insurance out to every person in the state. Right now, we have about 115,000 Alaskans who don't have health insurance. The vast majority of them are working individuals. They just happen to work at jobs, you know, unlike your job, unlike my job, their jobs do not provide health insurance as a benefit. So the idea is to, first of all, get them into the system, get them coverage, and then, you know, work from there to continue to reform the system.
Well, Hollis, it would appear that Senator Kennedy and Senator Baucus and the president are starting to eclipse your bill, because if there's a national program, then the state program probably needs to dovetail with it.
I hope they do. I hope that the bill that passes from Congress essentially eliminates the need for my bill, because it's a little more difficult to do a state-by-state recipe given what's known as federal preemption, the idea that federal laws tend to trump state laws in a lot of these important areas. So a federal solution is certainly easiest. It can be coast to coast. And if it makes my bill unnecessary, you know, I'll have a gay old time setting fire to it.
Well, meanwhile, you've got staffers, as I understand it, who are going to keep track of the federal thing and update your constituents and any other Alaskan that wants to be in touch.
Yes, we're starting a biweekly service that we've sent out lots of emails on to folks that are sort of reformers and individuals who are plugged into the system, to let them know that we're going to track these changes at the federal level, because it's possible that you get a bill that ultimately turns to the state and says, much like Medicaid, here's a chunk of money, you implement something that works for your population. And therefore, you know, we still want to be aware that that's a possibility, and to continue to educate policymakers here in the state about what a, you know, universal health insurance landscape looks like.
Senator Frank-